Today on the Word of Truth Revealed,
a process leader will also lead out in the events that they set up.
Bishop Clark says your duties as a process leader includes planning, organizing, and leading out in events.
They don't set up the event and show up and just inspect. They will be one of the ones serving too.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark continues going deeper in teaching us his concept of the next, which is an acronym meaning new experiences, X factor, and timing. Grab your Bibles and let's turn again to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, as Bishop Clark concludes the message, The Power of a Processed Servant.
A process leader is someone who creates conditions. It's a person who creates conditions and allows others to succeed in those conditions. A process leader doesn't say, I'm creating a condition for you to fail. But a process leader creates a condition for you to succeed. We don't give you unrealistic expectations or put you in menial tasks only, but we want you to grow. A process leader is a person who leads but also guides. People need guidance. They also support. They also nurture. A process leader will nurture others who they want to succeed. Think about it. The quintessential thing here is that a process leader wants those who are working with them to succeed. It's called the art of synergy. In other words, if I'm doing the work, all of the work myself, and you're not doing anything, then I'm going to burn myself out in a few years. But if all of us begin to work together, we can accomplish so much more, even if you only did small things. Small things. If all of us work together and all of us do small things, together, synergy says we can accomplish great things as a group. I can preach myself happy and preach myself to death. And everybody else sit back and say, he was a good preacher. But if I can create a condition for you to thrive in, and if I can nurture it and support you so you can succeed, and all of us become successful, the movement picks up momentum. Yes. Amen. And your duties as a processed leader would include several things. And that is, number one, if you're a leader, and all of us are leaders, we should be planners. That's not just for someone else, right? You don't go to a financial planner so they can plan your portfolio. You should know something about it when you sit down there with them. And you help to develop a plan about your future. A process leader also not only plans, but organizes. And God wants us to grow in the area of organization and structure. And a process leader will also lead out in the events that they set up. They don't set up the event and show up and just inspect. They will be one of the ones serving too. Moses was very unique. The Bible talks about him being the meekest person on the face of the earth. If you read Josephus, you'll see that he was also handsome. He describes him as a very handsome man, so much so that when he would ride as the prince of Egypt down the fairway in Egypt, ladies would stand there and just applaud him as he rode by. So he wasn't like he wasn't a throwback, right? He was handsome, right? The Bible says when he was born, he was a goodly child. But Josephus, the historian, says he was a very handsome person. But he was also meek. He had a family stage type mindset. He was separated from his family, and he wanted to hang out with his people. So he had a chance to do that. Even when he became the leader, he was still hanging out with the people. In other words, you couldn't look at the 3 million and find the leader. He would be the one walking with everybody, visiting tents, putting his head in there like that. He wasn't standing alone and sitting on a throne somewhere as the leader. He was in the family stage of his ministry. But when they came to Rephidim and there was no water to drink, the people became so angry because they were thirsty that they were cussing out God, and they were saying to Moses, we should stone you because you brought us out of the land of Egypt into this desert place that we can die in the wilderness. And it was so grievous to him, he went to the Lord. God says, get up out of your prayer and change your leadership style. I want you to go out before the people now. In other words, come out of the tents. Stop acting like you family person, and I need you to lead them. That was tough for the man to make that transition. And for some of us, God is I talked about it at 8 o'clock. You're in a transitional zone. If you understand Joseph, he saw his mother, glory to God, giving birth to Benjamin, but Benjamin never saw her. She died during childbirth. He's able to transition. He's able to hook up Benjamin with his mother's blessing and with her heart for him, glory to God, and give him good ideas. At the same time, he's able to remember the woman and to share with him the lace of her and her scent and all of the things that she passed down to him. He's able to connect both. And some of us, glory to God, we're in that zone where we know the past. We saw analog, but now we're in the digital age. And we need to help those that are still trying to do things in the analog stage. They can't transition in the digital. Are y'all with me? So this is where we are. You're in a transitional zone, and you need to learn how to flow. That's my job. You got to learn how to lead. You have to learn how to apply and organize and even plan. Can the church say amen? Amen. Organizing and leading by example when you set up an event. And so Moses would serve food and make sure everybody had bread versus just saying, go and pick it. And there are leaders like that now that want to point at people. But you have to be able to inspect what you expect. That means you got to be in the midst and know what you're planning, how the plan works. Check out the bottlenecks. Work with it so it can be more efficient. That's where we're going as a church. That's where we're going. If you want to be a leader, you got to start working on those things. So what are the processes associated with people who are coming in the leadership positions? It's some complex things if you want to be a leader who is a process. There's a dynamic exchange for you to go through if you're going to be a leader that is processed so you can be more influential. If you want to be a process leader, you need to understand that the process is basically building relationship over a period of time with people that you're with. So you can't be a church building. It is the process is this: building relationships over a period of time with people that you're working with. So you can't say I'm coming to church one time a month and think you're going to be a leader. You got to start abiding. You got to start hanging out. First thing you want to be is consistent in your attendance. Build over time between leaders and followers. You want people to follow you? They're not following you because you yell, scream, or you point fingers, or you say I'm the leader. You got to be on point. You got to be present. Fathers have to be present. Mothers have to be present. That's why you can't work your way to the future alone. You got to be able to spend time with family too. Fathers have to do that. You can't work 5 jobs and never spend time with children and think they're going to be okay. You got to be able to come. If you just come in and peek in there a little bit, read a story, you got to be able to show your face and be present. And leaders have to be present if you're going to be effective. Between leaders and groups that you're going to be working with, you got to learn how to be effective. You got to learn how to depend on each other. So in our point men ministry, we call it AIM now, but in point men, the concept was if we have 4 men moving in one direction, one man is going to be in the west. Another man is going to be in the north. Another man in the south. Another man in the east. But we're in a wedge formation. A wedge formation. Man is standing here. Another man is not standing directly next to him. He's standing a little bit further behind him, but off to his right. Another man is standing a little bit behind him, but off to his left. And then another man is behind all of them in the back. That's the wedge formation. And as we move in a direction, the leader depends on the direction that we're moving in. If we're moving eastwardly or westwardly, I'm facing west right now, we're moving west, then I'm the leader because I'm out front. I need to be equipped to lead. And in this position, I need to be vigilant from your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion is seeking who may be devoured. But I can't turn my back and look eastwardly, because my job is to make sure everything is covered on the west side. Amen. The man that's on the east side needs to have my rear guard. He can't be playing. He can't be talking to his woman. He can't be acting like he don't know what's up because he's not the leader. Your job is to make sure you're making sure nothing is sneaking up on our backside. The man that's off to my right needs to be looking to the north to make sure nothing is coming from the north. And the man to the south is looking to the south as we move, but his focus is that way as we move westwardly. Then we cut out any weakness of being overcome or ambushed by the enemy. Glory to God. Now, if we're moving westwardly and we happen to now move northward, I don't have to be the leader. As we move north, the person who is in the north position is now the leader. This is transition. This is what's next. Because some of you are waiting on somebody to call you the leader, but it depends on the way the wind blows. If the wind is blowing us north and you happen to be north, woman, I need you to lead us out of this. It can't just be a man because men lead. You happen to be right there on point. You need to know what you're doing, have the confidence that you need. You're next in line to lead us out of this storm. That's how I'm preparing the house of God as a leader here. So those of you that want to step on nobody's toes, you better be careful, because if the wind blows and you happen to be out front, you better take us out of here. Yes. Pull out your machete and start cutting down some bush so we can get up out of here. Yes. I was in Okinawa and I was in the infantry. I didn't have a good time in Okinawa. I was in the infantry, in the Marine Corps, Iwo Jima type stuff. And the leader that we had, we were marching at night in these cliffs, and he fell 15 feet and broke his leg. And so we hoisted him out, called a medevac in, and he flew out. The next man didn't know how to read a compass, but he was ignorant. He wouldn't say, "I don't know how to read a compass." He's the leader, but he's got us walking around in circles. Now, I'm new in the group. But I was at Quantico, Virginia, and I got the training about how to work with compasses and to read maps. And one day it just opened up, and I learned how to do that. The sun rose the next morning. He still got us going around in circles. I remember we crossed this log about 15 times, man. But I wasn't the leader. And in the Corps, you don't just start talking and running your mouth. You don't do that. You got to follow the leader. And that's how it is, even if all y'all go to hell. That's how it is in the Corps. I wouldn't recommend anybody joining the Marine Corps. You don't have that mindset. Well, anyway, the guy got frustrated because people started being frustrated. "Man, what's up? You don't know what you're doing?" I was quiet in the back. So he said, "Does anybody know how to read a compass or a map?" And everybody was quiet. I said, "I do." And I was in the back. He said, "You do? You're new here." I said, "Yes, but I know how to read a map." So he didn't give me the map. He flung it like this. And I caught it in the air, hit my knees, and started navigating. Listen to what I'm saying. I caught it in the air, hit my knees, and started navigating. Doing what I do. Oh, we're here. The camp is about 200 meters this way. We're going to come out into a clearing, and we'll be able to go to the camp. But it's 200 meters this way. They said, "All right, man, since you know what's going on, lead out." So I said, "Give me a machete," and just started cutting through brush. I mean, but vicious. Gah, breaking, gah, 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 start breaking stuff like that. I mean, aggressively. But after a while, the young men that were with me started moving like I move. Since he know what he's doing, or it looks like he knows what he's doing, he's got confidence, we'll go with it. All of a sudden, we stepped into a briar patch. I mean, full of thorns. But because I made a commitment, I got to go through the patch. And I got cut up while I was going through. But I kept breaking and chopping things up with that machete. And they got cut too. And they did exactly like I was doing until we came to a clearing. And when we came to that clearing, they said, oh man, wow, he was right. I didn't say a word. I said, move this way. They all followed me until we got back to the camp. And I went in my room. And over the night, they started coming to me at night. Said, man, thank you so much. And I didn't ever have to say I'm the leader after that. Even though I was new on the block. Because once you make a commitment, it doesn't matter what you got to go through. It doesn't matter what you got to cut through. Since you made the commitment, you do it anyway. That's the price of being the leader. It's not just getting something on Pastor Appreciation Month. It's what do you do for the other 11? When no one else is around and you say we must go this way. And you know you're going to lose people along the way because they don't understand. I don't like that decision and I don't like what's going on. But they are not responsible for all of these people. And those with the leader need to learn how to move with the same fervor. If you really believe. There's something about a process leader that when they make a decision, they're going to stick with it even if it cuts. Oh, Jesus. And you can't be pretty all the time and be the leader. Because it ain't about flexing. It's about making movement. To move people and resources to a new spot. So let's go back to Elijah. The process one. Ooh, Jesus. So the Bible says that God spoke to Elijah to anoint Elisha in his stead. And we read out of 1 Kings 19. But now I need to pull you into another passage. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says when God spoke to Elijah to elect or to anoint the new king and to anoint his successor, he then finds his successor. We can look at it. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse 21. He returned from him. I'm sorry, verse 20. And he left. Verse 19. He departed thence and found Elisha. And the Bible says who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Now I want you to think about a gardener with 12 yoke. The man is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He's already managing irrigation. A lot of people want God to anoint them for their next, but they haven't mastered what they're doing. They're just coasting, saying, I'm going to get promoted one day. But they're not trying to plow and manage the 12 yoke of oxen at once. When God anoints, he doesn't anoint just because you have tenure. He anoints what you're trying to work with, what's in your hands. That's why you can't be in ministry that doesn't employ you to get your hands dirty. You got to get involved, process ones. Now, life has messed a lot of us up, but ministry needs to straighten you up, and you got to get involved before you get straightened up. Are you all listening to me? He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. I want you to see nicely plowed rows. Nicely plowed rows that he's managing. But his leader comes along and just walks across what he plowed. In other words, I got this going on, I've been doing it well, but the leader who's about to anoint him doesn't care about all of that. He just walks across it and lays his mantle on him, walking and stepping on his new plans. Many of you would have quit right then because you're offended because somebody walks across your fields or don't give you your props. Or don't tell you how wonderful you are because that's what you think is good for you. But if you're going to be a process leader, you got to learn how to be offended and keep moving. Good God from Zion. Some of you, the reason why you're not promoted, because everything that happened on your job, you start throwing your neck. Don't throw your neck here. Throw your neck in praise. You can throw your neck in praise and worship. And if you get lost in praise, you'll find yourself in worship. You can take any attitude to praise. If you really praise God well, he'll change your attitude in the midst of it. And you'll begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why I don't care if you had an argument before you came to church. I don't care if they said something that hurt your feeling. You take it in your praise, and eventually you'll move into worship. Oh, Jesus. Elijah come along. Now, he looks like a Rastafari. He has dreadlocks. He's wearing camel's hair turned inside out. And he walks right across his nicely plowed fields and disturbs what he's done. Disturbed his religion. Disturbed the fact that he's been in church all of his life. Disturbed the fact that he's got a good family. Don't care nothing about that. Disturbed the fact that he's always done well. Ain't never been out in the street. Always working. Walk right past that. Walk right across that without acknowledging it. And some people are coming because you're so broken. You come into the church because you want somebody to acknowledge what you've done. God is saying it's time to move to the next dimension. And if you're going to move to the next dimension, you got to learn how to let somebody offend you about what you've already done. I see something great in you, but to get to it, you're going to have to be offended a little bit. You're way too cool, and you need to learn how to confront some stuff. You see what's going on in your family, and you won't say a word. And you need an Elijah to step up in your life and say, it's time to shift.
Glory to God.
I see something great in you. God even told me that you're going to be my successor, but you're not ready for it yet. You get offended too much.
Ah, Jesus. Glory to God.
Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says he walks across his fields and allows his mantle to rest on the man. Notice what he does. He doesn't say, what are you doing to my fields? The Bible says he leads the oxen. Look, his heart is right. In other words, I recognize that God is using you, and I recognize that there's a measure to your life, and I recognize that you call rain to fall, and rain fail. And then you call for a famine, and rain stopped for 3 years and 6 months, and you prophesied to kings, and there's evidence that's in your life that God is with you. No, I don't like your attitude. You're schizophrenic. But I see something that's going on in you, and I want the measure of it in my life. And when he came to the man and let the mantle rest on the man, the Bible says he left what he was used to doing. This is a moment right now. God is calling many of us to leave what we're familiar with. For me, leave what you've been gifted to do. Leave what you think you're qualified in and start moving with God in the next dimension, because God is trying to get truth revealed to a whole nother dimension. Hallelujah. Of readiness and preparedness to do stuff not only for this city, but the nations will come to the house. Hallelujah. And God is trying to prepare you for the new move.
It's not unusual for people who evade, avoid, for individuals who steer clear of long-term relationships to hear they have commitment issues. Many are trying to work with a phobia, a fear of commitment. Many folks use these phrases casually, but in reality, commitment and the fear of it is often quite complicated or complex. Dedication is a broad term, but it generally comes down to devoting yourself to a process or to something for a long period of time, whether that is a job, a goal, a city, devoting yourself to a ministry, or being committed to a relationship. The asserted effort to build, to construct anything, starts with a pure devotion to engagement. Joshua 24:15 says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When you make a commitment to serve the Lord, you save not only yourself, but you preserve your entire family and ultimately your legacy.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now, for your personal copy of today's message from the next series, The Power of a Processed Servant, when you write or email us, use reference number 21101011. That's reference number 2110-1011. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Do you know Jesus? That's a powerful question which recognizes that part of life's purpose and the lasting joy we experience in ethics, in morality, has much to do with knowing Jesus. In our pre-mortal life, we were in his mind, in his heart, we were in his presence, and in the presence of God the Father, we're protected, never disconnected. Let's get back to the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Choose Christ today. My friends, if you're unsaved and you would like to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried for me, but you love me enough to be raised from the dead for my justification. Come into my heart, and I will live for you forever. Fill me with your spirit and empower me to do great things in your kingdom. Hallelujah. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're now part of a large family. I need you to connect with us, so send me an email at this address, connect@truthrevealed.org. That is connect@truthrevealed.org. And until next time, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.